Today on Real Life Radio.
In a culture such as ours, we have lost the ability, in my opinion, to think in such a way that we don't often ask the question why anymore. And we need to get back to that. We need to resurrect you asking those that are around you and instructing you, including in church, including this service. You need to ask the questions why.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack begins a new series called The Why Series with a message called Why, Oh Why. From the skeptic who doubts what the Bible says is true to the Christian who wants to confirm what they believe, the Why series will both challenge and equip us on how to respond to the universal questions we all face in life. From the time we're young, we drove our parents to the edge with why this and why that, right? Well, when we became teenagers, we often used the why question to test authority. And now as adults, we wrestle with that why question when it comes to the things of life, and how we need to ask God for the answers to those deep questions that He's placed in our hearts. So, on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack tells us that we all have a reason and a purpose for living. Our divine Creator put inside of all of us the ability to consider why we are here. It's why we as humans have logic and reason, and why God gave us the Bible for all the answers we need. And now in his message called Why, Oh Why, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
This brand new series tonight, Lord, that you would use it in ways that we would come to the end of this series and maybe even before the end, and we would all be shocked and surprised at what you've done with it. We have opened up the door, so to speak, for you to speak to us. And Lord, especially for those who may be watching right now or they've attended tonight, they're not exactly sure about anything regarding faith or what is reality and what's tangible in a time like this, in a world like this. Can God really be true, and can I really know Him, and all of the various topics that we're going to be covering over the course of these Wednesday nights. So Lord, I'm asking you to be very present, powerfully present. And Lord, we pray that people's lives would be greatly affected. And the amazing reality of the age we live in right now, there's a lot of people here tonight, but there's a whole lot more watching and will watch later from all over the world. And for that, we recognize that, Jesus, you said this gospel is going to be preached in all of the world, and then the end will come. And so we live in an amazing time. May we be obedient to you. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, church, tonight I'm going to ask you, if you would, if you brought a Bible tonight, to turn to two locations, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, 1 Peter 3:15. If you don't have a Bible, you can steal one from the person next to you. Just kidding, don't do that. Or you can look to the screens, we'll have the verses up, but it's 1 Peter 3:15. And in a moment, I'm going to have you go to Isaiah 1:18. And tonight, we are going to set the foundation for the Why series. Why? And as you're turning there, I'm going to give you a moment to turn there, but I want to ask you a question. 1 Peter 3:15, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. As we commence the Why series, tonight we're going to be looking at the kickoff message, and we've entitled it, Why, Oh Why? Why? The question why. If you are in school today, if you are in class today, if you are listening to any instructor today, you can ask them a question that most often derails the instructor. And that is what you and I learned when we were kids, probably at around the age of 3 and up. And that is the question why. Little kids ask it this way, how come? How come? Do this, Junior, or do that, Miss America. Do this, do the other, we'll say to our little ones. And they'll counter and say, why? Or how come? As we grow up, we just refine that. But in a culture such as ours, we have lost the ability, in my opinion, to think in such a way that we don't often ask the question why anymore. And we need to get back to that, especially young people tonight. We need to resurrect you asking those that are around you and instructing you, including in church, including this service. You need to ask the questions why. I believe the question why that is in your heart and mind has been actually placed there by God. I believe that because I believe in God. I believe in the Bible. I believe that God's the creator. You may not believe in that tonight. That's okay. I want you to know you're among friends tonight. If you're visiting or if you're here because you've heard about this new series and it's entitled Why, then listen, be patient. Come back Wednesday night after Wednesday night and try it on for size. Try it on. Because I got to tell you tonight, the passion is to reach the believer in strengthening what it is that they believe in discipleship. And for you, the person who's not sure about the existence of God, or maybe not sure about your walk with God, that for you, it will be most convincing. I believe in the Bible. I believe in the existence of God. And because I believe that's true, I believe that I don't have to make apologies for his existence or for his Bible. I believe God is well able to communicate to any one of us, even doubting Thomas among us, if you'll honestly ask God, why? If you are real, God, then why? And I believe he can handle that. I don't think it threatens him at all. So here's what I'm going to ask of you. To literally be preparing your heart and mind, if need be, to ask the questions why, even in this gathering. Again, we've never done this before. I pray that I break out of my mold. I'm kind of stuck in a almost like a professor-style 55-minute college class program. My body goes for 55 minutes and then it stops. What I'm going to try to do tonight, and you can pray for me, is go about maybe 40 minutes. And stop and then interact with you tonight. That's the goal. That's what we've promised you, and that's what we want to do. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says in the New King James Version Bible, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that is that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. So the Bible starts out, even if you don't believe it, the Bible says to those who believe that you should have answers for people and that you should answer them respectfully and with kindness. Okay, this next verse I love, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Isaiah 1:18, God is speaking and he says to us, come now and let us reason together. Reason. We're going to use this tonight as our foundation regarding the Why series. And I'm well aware that this setting tonight is one that would be comprised of both believer and unbeliever alike. And I, again, mention that you may believe in God or you may not believe in God. But I'm going to ask you tonight for all of us, no matter what our worldview might be, is that we consider this issue of reason. God says, let's reason together. I love it. It's God rolling up his sleeves and saying, come on, let's do this. He's not removed and somehow whimsical and taken away from us and you can't reach him. According to the Bible, God's the one that will reach right out into your life if you're willing to ask him the question of who he is. And I don't think, again, God's offended at all when we ask him why. Not at all. And yet I'm going to argue from this position of reason and logic. I'm going to tell you the reason why, knowing that for some of you, listen carefully, for some of you, because I've already talked to some of you. I'm going to come, pastor, I'm going to listen, but I want you to know you've got a hole to climb out of because you being a Christian, you're going to state your arguments based upon the Bible. And you know, a lot of young people say that, and I've got to tell you, if I weren't a Christian, I would be using that same line. Oh, sure, you guys are going to argue the existence of God, and you're going to use the Bible. Not fair, not fair. Wait a minute, let's use some reason. Let's use some logic. When we talk about the question why, for example, the existence of God, and we'll take this up in following messages, maybe more importantly, we should ask the question, why do we even exist? Us. And when we think about things like that, we need to apply what we've known from the time of the Enlightenment, which we'll hear about tonight, the age of reason, is a scientific method of thinking. If we are going to put something forward, we need to analyze it. We need to look at it. We need to attack it. We need to shred it to see if it stands the test. So I want all of you to be people thinking that when you come to, anyway, this church, that you not only bring your brains when you come, but you, you know, if you need to, add a little bit of coffee to them if you have to. Come alert, come with notes, get ready and be thinking. Employ, God says, let's reason together. Of course, that Hebrew word is respectfully put forth. Let's argue together, says the Lord. It's a great thing. So yeah, it's true. I confess, I am going to argue the existence of God and your existence to have meaning based upon what the Bible says. And here's what I'm asking of you. All of you to be kind and to be intellectually honest and to allow the debate to take place, meaning this, that if God is real, that's my proposal tonight, and if his Bible is true, second proposal, then I want to come from that angle and just have you consider that. I just want you to entertain that for a moment. I'm going to ask you to allow a grand presupposition, if you would, to be in your thinking. And that is, and I love this, the Bible itself never argues for the existence of God. Did you know that? The Bible never argues for the existence of God. That might come as a surprise to you. Never once. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the very first verse of the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Boom. End of story. God says, that's it. Right there. And I've often said to people, if you can get past this first verse, the rest of the Bible is downhill. Think of it. Will you entertain this for a moment? Because all of a sudden, it gets real narrow real quick. You either tonight believe in the evolutionary theory, or that God is created. There should be evidence for whichever one's true. I'm asking you tonight in this setting to consider what God has said. He says of himself, I created the heavens and the earth. God makes this claim from the beginning. So church, we're looking at this tonight. Our only argument this evening is the argument for human reason. Can you write that down if you're a thinker or note taker tonight? We are going to talk about the existence of God, and the reason for your existence is wrapped up in the argument of this, that there is human reason. Human reason, human logic, human argumentation. According to the evolutionary theory, you are a highly developed animal, and I don't buy that at all. According to God, the Bible announces that you have been created in the image of God. You've got two opposing world views. One says you're an animal, and one says that you are a child, a creation with a purpose from the very inception and creativity of what C.S. Lewis says, a great mind. I like that. Maybe tonight you're here and you're an atheist and you don't even want to hear the word God. Well, how about this? And take it from C.S. Lewis, who was once a great atheist. Let's consider that the evidence around the world and all that we can observe is evidence enough to speak to us that there is a great or grand mind behind things. Just laying that out before you to consider the argument for human reason. And so what's important about that, if you care about this, and I hope you do, when we talk about reason, we're talking about a reason in the name, or the definition of reason in light of the brackets or the scope of what is known as the Enlightenment or the Age of Reason. So what is this? Well, you should know this, but the Age of Reason, or otherwise known as the Enlightenment, by the way, I'm not sure if you know this or not, but did you know that those who study the Enlightenment era, by the way, it's from the 1600s to the end of the 1700s, did you know that by and large, the researchers have come to a conclusion that when you define the Age of Enlightenment and what happened, some significant things, friends, no matter what your belief in God is or not, some very interesting things happened. Did you know that during that period of time, so let's just say under a 200-year period of time, just to be safe, it's a little less than that, but did you know that in the areas of science, the foundations that were that are still tonight, the foundations of all that is built upon science, that those foundations were discovered roughly in that period, in that time frame? There was an explosion of exactly what the announcement is, the age of enlightenment, the age of illumination. Something happened, and if you look at it honestly, there was an explosion of intellect and education and learning, and there was an explosion of biblically based morality. We call it the Puritan movement. Both of those things happened in tandem. Here's a shocker, friends, Christian and non-Christians tonight. A lot of the ones who were the key scientists in that Enlightenment era were believers in the Bible and in God. Not all of them, most of them. We'll look throughout the weeks at these claims like this, but I would argue with you tonight if you would say, well, if we're going to talk about reason, we don't have to insert God in this because science has made God obsolete. We don't need God anymore because we have science. And I find that interesting because I want to show you the cover of a book that still tonight, as of tonight, is still the most powerful book written regarding the mechanism of science or the discovery of science and the appreciation of science by Sir Isaac Newton. When Newton wrote this work, he was asked by fellow scholars, then God must not exist, right? And Newton said quite the contrary. When he wrote this grand statement on science, Newton said, listen, I appreciate God more because of these findings. And if I don't get a chance to see you again, some of you might say, I'm leaving. But before you leave, will you remember this? We all love science, and our God is the author of science. Science only explains how something works. Science doesn't tell us why it was created or why it exists or why. Oh, why? Remember that. Science can only observe and report on and explain how something works. And Newton understood that perfectly. So tonight, foundationally, when we ask the question why, we must realize something intellectually honest by saying it's not God or not, or science or not, it's this. It is there logic and reason, and can these statements coalesce or mate with the existence of God? And today, the, I believe, educated Christian shouts a resounding yes to this. Listen to this. I want to give you a quote from Newton. This is awesome. I think it's on the screen. He who thinks half-heartedly will not believe in God. Did you hear that? I love this. He who thinks half-heartedly will not believe in God, but he who really thinks has to believe in God. In fact, I commend to you who want to research this, there's a book entitled He Who Thinks Has to Believe. It's taken from this quote from Newton, and it's authored by Dr. A.E., that's A, letter A, letter E, Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith, hyphenated Smith. Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith. I believe he had 7 earned doctorates. He's now in heaven, a tremendous scientist. And he wrote a book, He Who Thinks Has to Believe. And you might really enjoy that book. Fascinating book. And it might challenge your evolutionary view or your small view about who God is. But what a tremendous statement by Newton. So the argument for human reason starts with this. It's human of us, friends. It's human of all of us to ask the question. You have questions. Young people tonight, you have questions. And no one should shy away from your questions. I believe the church today is suffering because the church is not taking on the questions. And the Bible has the answers for us. Reason and logic will answer us. And God is the ultimate reason. He is the ultimate logic. In fact, we call God the Logos, the Word. Isn't that great? The Word, L-O-G-O in Greek, Logos, is the communication of knowledge, the Word. And so the question comes to us right now. The number one question among people all around the world has been from the beginning is, why are we here? What's my existence for? I need all of you to take a deep breath. I want to hear this. Take a deep breath. Wow. Let it out. I heard that. Why don't you get some O2 up in that brain and be thinking for a moment? I know you and I live in the hamster wheel and we're running up and down the freeways like a little automaton robot, and life can get mundane, and I wanna just throw a big explosion into your routine for a moment and say, wake up to the fact that you have been created by God is my claim based upon the Bible, that there's reason for your existence. You have a purpose for your life that God has given you. And you may or may not believe in God. I'm telling you right now, it's irrelevant. You have a purpose and God has created you a highly intelligent, you say, I'm not very smart. You are a highly intelligent individual created in the image of God, and you have God's moral likeness, so claims the Bible. Which simply means in our argument tonight that you've got the ability to know right and wrong. You've got the ability to do the right thing, do the wrong thing, and you've got the ability to reason, to debate, to argue. And I mean that in a good way. To put forth argumentation and to be able to back it up with your position. And that's a good thing. And to ask the question, okay then, if this God of yours exists, then why? What's to my existence? What's the meaning of life is the great question. And by the way, people, when we hear of people taking their own lives, do you know that they cannot get that question answered? That's the problem. Why would someone take their own life? Because they have come to the end of hope. Why is it that they lost hope? Because they have no reason or meaning to go on any further. That's why, by the way, if you believe in this or not, we can pick up the Bible. We can get called to a scene or to a home where someone is despairing of life and give them the word of God, and their attitude and demeanor begins to change. And I mean this, I'm not being corny, I'm telling you right now, as powerful as an arrow is launched out of a bow and hits a physical target, when the Bible, I've seen the Bible go out and hit in the hearts and minds of someone who's in great, great peril and watch it begin to affect them, almost as though you'd shot them with a dart to wake them up out of a coma. And if that weren't true, my friend, I'd go back to my old career tonight. I'm telling you right now. To ask the question, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 8, verse 3, when I consider, I want to stress the word consider, because it involves reason and logic. So when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? That's the question of the psalmist. Have you ever had that question? I'm going to believe that you've had this question. Hey, God, are you out there? What's the meaning of life?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Why Oh Why. Thanks for being with us today. Why Oh Why is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Why Series. It's a group of specific messages that tackle the tough questions of life by giving us answers straight from the Bible, which is, of course, our amazing roadmap towards our meaning and purpose for living. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, you know, we're excited to announce that Pastor Jack will be hosting another Bible prophecy conference. It's called Behold He Comes, with special guests Jan Markell, Amir Sarfati, and Pastor Barry Stagner. And you are invited to join us through our exclusive live stream pass. The streaming pass gives you special access to watch the conference live on Saturday, September 11th, and it includes 2 hours of additional pre-recorded interviews, teachings, and backstage access with the speakers themselves, and that's just for a $5 purchase. We also have Spanish and Mandarin Chinese translations available. If you'd like more information and to get your streaming pass, simply visit beholdhecomes.org. Now, here's a pretty cool opportunity for pastors and churches who'd like to watch the conference together. If your church is interested in hosting the Behold He Comes Bible Prophecy Conference, or if you'd like to find a church in your area hosting the event, again, you can visit us at beholdhecomes.org. That's beholdhecomes.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.